Bibles again and turn back to page 1023, because there's a couple of questions I want to ask. Page 1023. So Mark says to us, come and see the empty tomb. And then the second thing he wants to say to us is stop and listen. Stop and listen. Now, what is it that the women find when they come to the empty tomb? Two surprises. Can somebody tell me what they find? Yep, Reuben? The stone is rolled away. And we've got a picture of the stone here. If you can see it, it would have been a very difficult thing to roll away. Slightly easier to push into place, but it falls down a little hole. So much, much harder to roll out of the way. That was the first surprise. But there's a second surprise. What's the next thing they find at the empty tomb? Yeah? Right, okay, yes, I'm going to come on to that just a second, but there's something else they saw. That's what they didn't see. So what do they see? Reuben's on the... Yeah, go on, Bobby. An angel, fantastic. Here's the big surprise about Easter. The tomb isn't empty. There's an angel inside the tomb. Can you see it there in verses 4 and 5? Here's the next question. What does the angel say? What's the first thing that the angel says in verse 6? Yeah, go for it. Don't be alarmed. Yes, don't be frightened. You'd want to hear that, wouldn't you, if you saw an angel? You'd definitely want to hear that. And then what does the angel say? Have a look down, see it there. Yep, right at the back. Yes, so Jesus has risen. So he says, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. In other words, it's the same Jesus. The same Jesus who was crucified is the same Jesus who was buried. And the same Jesus who was buried is not in the tomb. And the reason why, says the angel, is because that same Jesus has been raised. And there's one other thing that the angel says right at the end. See the place where they laid him. There was a poll that the BBC commissioned recently, which said that 2/3 of people who call themselves Christians believe that the resurrection was physical. And that means that there's 1/3 of people who say they're Christians who believe in a non-physical or spiritual resurrection. And they would say that actually it's a childlike faith to believe in a physical resurrection. Well, not according to Mark. See the place where he was laid. Mark says that an adult belief in the resurrection is a physical resurrected Jesus. Now, I've asked Reuben to come up and give me a hand in two parts. This is the first part. I've got an egg for Reuben here. And I wonder if you could just open that up quickly, just to get it ripped open. Just use your strength. That's it. Fantastic. We're all in anticipation. Okay, great. And if you could take the egg out. And show everybody. Where's the egg then? Can you show everybody the egg? No egg. What do you reckon, Reuben's happened to the egg?
You've eaten it.
Any other possible explanations? No other possible. That is the only. Well, perhaps they didn't put it in there in the first place at the factory. That's a possibility, isn't it? Or perhaps it was sort of magicked out of there. Fran, any ideas what happened to the egg?
Well, Bobby and I are a little bit peckish, so we had a little bite, and once we started, we couldn't stop. And before we knew it, it had all gone in our tummies.
Well, you were on the right lines. It's been eaten, but not by me. The good news is, this one hasn't been, so you can have that one. And you can go and take a seat now. Thanks very much, Reuben. Very good. Now, resurrection as an explanation seems about as likely as the magic option for why the egg wasn't there. So at first you might think, well, the reason why Jesus wasn't in the tomb perhaps was because he didn't die. Well, Mark's already given us some evidence to show us that he definitely did die, just in the passage before the one we read. Maybe you think, well, the body was stolen. Well, as our video said earlier, how come nobody produced it? Or maybe you say, well, Jesus had a twin. This is getting really creative. He had an identical twin, but Jesus managed to hide him for all of his life. And then suddenly this identical twin who had been hidden decided that he would be prepared to actually go to the cross and die in his place instead, and nobody knew about it. Pretty far-fetched, hey? All of those options and others are ruled out when you look at the evidence. So the least likely one, at first glance, the idea of resurrection, seems to be the only option. What would it take for intelligent, rational people to believe that resurrection happened? Well, you would want, wouldn't you? You'd want an angel to turn up and tell you that that's what happened. You'd at least want that. Or maybe you'd want Jesus to tell you in advance that this is what's going to happen. Now, that would give some credibility to it. In fact, he did. He said three times that the Son of Man will suffer, he will be flogged and spat upon, he will be killed, and 3 days later, he will rise again. See, the facts of the empty tomb, they are enough to lead us to the question mark. But actually, we need an explanation, the explanation of the angel, to move us from the question mark to the exclamation mark. But the angel has one other thing to tell us. So it's come and see, it's stop and listen, and thirdly it is go and tell the good news. Go and tell the good news. Look at verse 7. The angel says, it's the last thing the angel says, go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, why do you think it mentions Peter? Any ideas? Perhaps those who have been around for the Mark series? Yeah, Cameron. Fantastic answer, because Peter denied Jesus. And if Peter hadn't have been included here, if the angel hadn't said, you go, Peter, to see Jesus, Peter would have assumed, well, Jesus isn't going to want me, is he? Because I denied him. If that were us, we would say, wouldn't we? If we were Jesus, we'd say, Peter, I don't want to see you. You're a traitor. You turn your back on me at my most urgent need. You turn your back. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But Jesus Christ receives Peter in and accepts him. And that means for us that if Jesus can accept Peter, he can accept you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, Jesus can accept you. This is the good news. Did you notice we've got quite a funny ending to the story, to the account here? And I want you to imagine the story of Cinderella. I've got a picture of Cinderella, I think. So once upon a time, there was a girl called Cinderella. She had three ugly sisters. And one day, they went off to the ball. She stayed at home, and they had a lovely time. The end. Or, once upon a time, there was a girl called Goldilocks, and she visited the house of three bears, and she sat in one of their chairs, ate some of their porridge, and slept in one of their beds, and then went home to her own house. The end. Or, once upon a time, now actually we can't say once upon a time at this point because we're talking about a true story, there were three women who went to the tomb of Jesus. They found that the stone had been rolled away. And when they went inside, there was an angel who told them that Christ had been risen, and they were to go and tell the disciples and Peter. But instead, they were scared and they ran away and told no one. The end. Pretty strange way to end a story, isn't it? But that's the way that Mark ends it. See, the only explanation for the church is if these women later on went to meet the risen Jesus Christ and actually saw the risen Jesus. That is the only explanation that we can have for the existence of the worldwide church today. Reuben, part two for you. Come up, if you wouldn't mind. Now, I've got a mission for you. I want you to go, you're going to have 30 seconds, and I want you to go and tell as many people as you possibly can in that time, he is risen. That's the message. He is risen. That's what you've got to pass on, okay? As you do that, when you've told somebody, they need to stand up. Okay, everybody you tell that message to, they need to stand up. And once they've stood up, they've then got to go and tell as many other people as they possibly can. And we'll see how many people we can get stood up in 30 seconds. We need to spread the message as quickly as possible. Are you ready? We've got a stopwatch coming up on the screen here. Okay, what's the message? What's the message?
He is risen.
Fantastic. Okay. Ready? Steady, go. Twenty seconds left. Now you sit down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Stop! Don't stand up if you haven't stood up already. I think most of us have stood up. Well done, Reuben. You did tremendously well. You can stay down there. That's fine. Now, this is like what happens when the message of the good news of the risen Jesus goes out to the world. Now, some people don't get to hear the message, and so therefore they don't stand up. Some people hear the message, but they reject the message and they don't stand up. Other people hear the message that Jesus is risen and they stand up with joy, but they feel a little bit embarrassed and therefore they kind of keep the message to themselves and don't pass it on to anyone else. But actually, the people who have the most fun in this world are the people who hear the message of Jesus. They leap up with joy and then they do all they can to share the message of Jesus with others. Do take a seat. Well done. And well done, Reuben. So as we finish, where does all of this leave us this morning? Perhaps you're a full stop person still after what you've heard this morning. What I want to say to you is it's great you're here, and there is more than can be said in 15 minutes. So I encourage you to come back Sunday by Sunday and keep finding out. Maybe this morning you're a question mark person. You've still got some questions. And there are a couple of things coming up very soon which I think will help you. We've got an open week, a week of talks, which are taking place a little while from now, June the 5th to the 11th. Do put it in your diary. And that will be followed up by a course called Life Explored. And I'd encourage you to keep on coming along and keep asking your questions. We love people who ask questions here. But I reckon the majority of us here this morning are exclamation mark people. We've come and seen the empty tomb. We've stopped and we've listened to the explanation from the angel. And the challenge for us is, will we go and tell? That's the challenge. Will we go and tell, or will we fear and flee? Go and tell, or with the help of the Holy Spirit whom God gives to us, will we be bold and speak up? That's Mark's message to us this morning. Come and see the empty tomb. Stop and listen to what the angel says, that he is risen, and then go and tell the good news that he is risen. Alleluia.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Lots to think about there. We have come to the end of our time this morning, and we're going to end as we started by declaring the praises of our risen King. Let's stand and sing.